In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and cleanse our souls, O good one. Today, we're going to be working on the fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time. And the first part, the first of the four sections, is going to be once again on the priest and the cross. I've been a priest about 55 years now. And I see a shift in the way we put the accent on priesthood. And that shift is coming from the Holy Spirit. We're accenting more and more the share that the priest must have in the cross of Christ. The Pope has begun this, or contributed to this. This I want to read to start off. I want to read from his Mass with the new cardinals on the Feast of Christ the King, this last one, 2010. In there he says, "In the crucified Jesus, the divinity is disfigured, stripped of all visible glory, and yet is present and real. Faith alone can recognize it, the faith of Mary, who places in her heart too this last scene in the mosaic of her son's life. She does not yet see the whole, but continues to trust in God, repeating once again with the same abandonment, 'Behold the handmaid of the Lord.'" A little bit later in the same discourse, he says, "Participation in the Lordship of Christ," remember this is the Feast of Christ the King, "is only brought about in practice in the sharing of his self-abasement with the cross. My ministry, dear brothers, and consequently also yours, consists wholly of faith." And then he skips a little bit and then says, "In regard, the true place of the vicar of Christ is the cross. It lies in persisting in the obedience of the cross." That's the true place of the Pope, and therefore for all of us. Now this is extraordinary in a way, that such an accent is being placed on this role of the cross. I could theorize about it a little bit. It may be because comfort has become such a high priority in our lives. And secondly, you know, nothing that's worth doing is accomplished without some effort, some sacrifice. And we, you see, Christ lives in us in the ordination. The priestly character establishes a psychological and ontological bond between the priest and Christ. So there's a very special way. I'll read that in a moment. That the priest is involved in the career of Christ, which is a career of vicarious suffering and intercession, for which all the teaching was a preparation, so that we'd understand what he was doing and understand how to apply it to our lives. Now, there is such a thing as vicarious suffering. For instance, this is Isaiah 53, 3 to 6. "He was spurned and avoided by men, a man of suffering, accustomed to infirmity, one of those from whom men hide their faces, spurned, and we held him in no esteem. Yet it was our infirmities that he bore, our sufferings that he endured. While we thought of him as stricken, as one smitten by God and afflicted, but He was pierced for our offenses, crushed for our sins. Upon him was the chastisement that makes us whole. By his stripes we are healed. We had all gone astray like sheep, each following his own way, but the Lord laid upon him the guilt of us all. And among other texts, we have this logion of Jesus in reply to the, this is Mark 10:45, the disciples want to be at the right and left hand. And he says, you don't know what you're asking. And then he concludes that by saying, the Son of Man has come to serve, and the word is diakonin, has come to serve, not to be served. And that service is to give his life as a ransom for the many. So once again, we see this role of vicarious suffering. I want to continue with that, even with some texts that I've read out. But before I do that, I want to read from this book. It's astonishing how this little book and this woman have made such inroads already in the church. And she's not even beatified yet, but she will be. She and Jacinta. Anyway, this is what the Lord said to her at a certain point. To be acceptable to my Father, a victim must be pure and sacrificed. My entire life is reduced to this beautiful work, which synthesizes the essence of the Christian and even more that of the priest. And that word is immolation. I was voluntarily immolated on earth, and I continue this life of immolation on the altar. And it's to that, of course, that we're called to share. The priest, of course, then inviting the people to join, because that's where we find our sanctification. If we're doing it, our words will be strong enough to touch many people as they hear them, and their lives will change. This is a text from Colossians I think I read before. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for you. My sufferings for you. And I fill up what is lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body, which is the church. Now, how can there be anything lacking, you see, to the afflictions or sufferings of Christ? Christ is head and members. There's only one Christ. The members have to participate in this mystery, not because there's anything lacking, but because of that law that I suggested before. This reality has to exist on earth, and it exists on earth to the degree that we participate in it, and it radiates in our flesh. We know this. You meet some priest who's really carrying the burden, the cross, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, and you're better for it, and you know it. And so, I want to read one more text in this whole section. This is from 2 Corinthians 4:7-10. Actually, 7-12. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted and not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. That goes as far as 10. Now, 11. We, the living, always are handed over to death for the sake of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh. Therefore, death is at work in you, in us, and life is at work in you. And again, you see the vicarious suffering, and the intercession. This is important. Now, where do we start? You know, the formation for years now in the seminary has not made much of this whole dimension, which our Lord says is the most important dimension of our priesthood. It also, and this is a connection, I think, has been that we haven't accented the notion of the priestly character, which is a conformity to Christ, a special presence of Christ in the priest. That's why we can say, this is my body, this is my blood, it's Christ in us. And Vatican II says, of course, about reading the gospel, when the gospel is read, preached, it is still Christ proclaiming his gospel. Now that identification, as all these texts have shown us, and I could read more, and they're in Jacinta, as well as in Conchita. By the way, Raniero Cantalamessa, preaching to the household, the papal household. I have it in here. If you just be patient, I might be able to find it. There it is. He's just been talking. He's been quoting, Raniero has, Gregory of Nazianzen. Know that no one is worthy of the grandeur of God, of the victim, and of the priest, if he has not first offered himself as living and holy sacrifice, if he has not presented himself as reasonable and acceptable oblation, and if he has not offered to God a sacrifice of praise and a contrite spirit. The only sacrifice of which the author of every gift asks to be offered, how will I dare offer him the external offering on the altar, that which is the representation of the great mysteries, unless I'm offering myself? Then, I'm now quoting Cantalamessa. Later on, I found a singular confirmation in the writings of the Venerable Concepcion Corbera de Armida, called Conchita, the Mexican mystic, you know, founder of three religious orders, whose process of beatification is underway. To her Jesuit son about to be ordained, she wrote, "Remember, my son, when you hold in your hands the Holy Host, you will not say, 'Behold the body of Jesus and behold his blood.' You will say, 'This is my body, this is my blood.' There must be worked in you a total transformation. You must lose yourself in him to be another Jesus." And as I mentioned last week, I would like to go on exploring this. I may talk about it one more time here in these discourses, but I'd like to go on exploring this. If you're interested, contact me. The information will be put up on the screen for you. All right, let's move on.